just keeps going up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning for the morning open. A look at the economy as we begin the trading day, the last week before a long holiday weekend. Let's ask, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now, barely. The S&P up about 0.2%. Same for the NASDAQ. And the Dow pretty much flat, up about 7 points, 93.52. European shares are trading higher right now. And in Asia, stocks were mostly higher today. The Hang Seng shot up about 3%. In Tokyo, shares fell today slightly. The unemployment rate is now at its highest level since June of 1983, 9.7%. This morning, the government said employers cut 216,000 jobs in the month of August. That's about 60,000 less than the month before. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He joins us live from Philadelphia this morning. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
So the headline number, that 9.7%, is it as negative as it sounds?
It's probably not quite as negative as it sounds. I think part of it was one last month was probably a little better than it should have been in the sense that we saw the amount of people looking for, looking for jobs going down. This time that number jumped up and, you know, factually we did lose some more jobs. I think what you can say is the pace of the losses is moderating at least.
Let's take another layer off this report from the Labor Department. What does the data on average weekly hours spell out?
Well, that's one place where I think you can say that there's a little bit of at least good news in the sense that that has stopped falling. You know, when you think about it, companies generally cut back people's hours before they cut the people, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now we
have it holding steady this month, which maybe is, again, another signal that, that things are kind of moderating and may, you know, get that kind of turn up. And, again, you're probably likely to see hours move up before you see them actually bring back people.
And what's it going to take for companies to finally feel confident enough to, I don't know, hire?
Well, you know what? I think this time, in the sense that a lot of companies thought we might be going into a depression, so it came down to cutting people quickly because it was corporate survival, I think it's going to take some better feeling that this recovery is sustainable. It takes a little longer. We're thinking It maybe takes till the first quarter of next year.
All right. Bill Stone, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks.
Do appreciate it. Today, Toyota reported it sold more than 2 million hybrid cars worldwide since it first launched the Prius more than a decade ago. But if a patent infringement case filed this week pans out, sales of Toyota's latest suite of hybrids could be banned in its largest market. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
U.S. hybrid technology company Pace claims Toyota's new Prius, hybrid Camry, and two Lexus models are using technology Pace invented. The Florida-based company already won a jury verdict against Toyota back in 2005 for patent infringement, and it argues that the technology used in Toyota's new line of hybrids is the same. On Thursday, Pace filed a patent infringement case with the U.S. International Trade Commission. The agency is set up to protect U.S. markets from unfair trade practices, patents included. If it rules in favor of Pace, the agency could decide to impose an import ban on the violating products. That process could take more than a year. Toyota isn't commenting, but industry experts say given Toyota's huge market here in the U.S., a substantial fine is a more likely outcome. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
Well, in mere days, Congress picks back up on some high-priority legislation for the Obama administration, a lot of which has been politicized and compromised. Someone who's been on the inside of a few White House and congressional discussions is former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, who's here with a congressional preview. Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So what can we expect when Congress returns next week?
Well, they've got three huge issues, health care, financial regulation, and cap and trade. Now, most Congresses couldn't even handle one of these in a session, let alone three. Of course, health care is the biggest and most important in terms of priority. That comes first.
And speaking of health care, the president speaks about it before a joint session of Congress on Wednesday. I mean, what does he expect to accomplish?
He's got to reclaim the initiative, Steve. The White House was outmaneuvered in August. Many members were deluged with constituents' concerns about health care reform. And with a larger-than-usual portion of Congress up for re-election next year from districts and states that are likely to have close races, the president has got to light a fire and get health care done as soon as possible before midterm election politics take over completely.
Now, that sounds a lot like herding cats. How's he going to do that?
It is herding cats. I expect he'll be much more specific about what he wants in the bill. Without specifics, opponents will continue to conjure up all sorts of demons. He'll also reassure the blue dogs, those are the conservative Democrats, that the plan will be paid for. And he's got to calm down relatively new Democratic members from traditionally Republican districts that they can safely vote on the bill.
So I suspect a lot of deals are going to be made.
Oh, yes. I mean, the question for the White House is how much reform the president will need in order to allow him to declare victory. I mean, at the very least, he's got to get insurance reforms. No denial of insurance to people with pre-existing conditions, and no dropping of coverage because they're badly sick. Beyond that, requirements that almost all businesses give their employees health insurance or pay into a common fund, and that every American buy health insurance.
But, you know, we still have these sticking points, right, as far as health care goes. First of all, the public option. This is the government getting directly involved in health care. And then there's the whole notion of how we're going to pay for it. How is all that going to get resolved?
You've reached the limits of my crystal ball, Steve.
All right. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, you don't equate cute and cuddly with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. But inside the gift shop there, there's a new stuffed toy, a soft, squishy, and furry 7-inch swine flu doll. A company called Giant Microbes makes it, along with other fuzzy plush toys based on deadly diseases, HIV, anthrax, even bed bugs. The company says it's all about educating the public. If you're not a stuffed microbe fan, the CDC shop also offers disease-themed ties and scarves. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.